Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Nuggets News. Today we welcome back our head of research, and that is Michael, coming to you from Bali this time. How are you, Michael?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, really good. It's been exciting few months, which we're going to get into Bitcoin, Ethereum, some Solana projects, and plenty of other hidden gems you've got for us, as well as plenty more. But any general thoughts before we get into all that?
Yeah, it's been super interesting trying to read the market a little bit, because everyone's waiting for these corrections, and then we get maybe like a 10% correct and you think, okay, here we go, hold off a bit to buy the dip, but then it just bounces back up again. So I've missed a few of these because I thought I was trying to be a little bit more conservative. But yeah, it's interesting to see how things will play out from here. It's maybe a Kyle question, but
yeah, a bit more of a different cycle to maybe traditionally with the meme coins, which we're going to get into too. But I guess first off, I'm not sure if you want to share your screen or not, but Bitcoin's had just this unbelievable run of 7 green months. Has it only happened once before, way back in the early days, I believe, a long, long time ago?
Yeah, just you can just see just month on month on month. So like for those that have been paying attention, and to be honest, most retail hasn't been paying attention. Like you look now, you're like, wow, we're already at all-time high. And just look at that, like that line, that vert ramp, just straight up from 7 months in a row. So clearly, like, we are seeing the ETF factor in full force. And again, I mentioned it last time that we did an app that, like, this is now just wrapped Bitcoin for Wall Street. And so it's pretty incredible when you think about it, what's happening here. And I would say that from most of the things that I've been reading, that a lot of all of the bigger banks and the bigger institutions haven't even onboarded yet, because they're still trying to scratch their head and play catch up on, like, how do they pitch this to their customers? How do they try and incorporate it into an investment strategy? And so it's been a lot of like the free money, that as in like not encumbered money, that's been able to roll into this first, but there's still huge waves of cash that can come into this. So it's getting pretty wild.
Yeah, I guess because it has been a lot of Wall Street driven money and $1 billion a day we saw at the peak of the inflows. When we go back to the sentiment and emotion analysis of the cycle, it hasn't sort of given retail time to get excited yet. As you said, a lot of people are still umming and ahhing or asking if it's too late to buy and that type of thing. So that's why Bitcoin's just been repriced at what it's sort of now suitable if they are going to get clients at 1% to 3% of their portfolios, all these trillions of dollars that the money managers have. And that's going to take some time. So there's every reason for Bitcoin to continue higher. But whenever it has these near vertical lines, it has to have a bit of a pause. But the fact that it's having a pause without having a big pullback is even, I guess, more bullish for when it does start to take off again. A lot of people aren't saying, well, this is where I think Bitcoin's going to top, I'm selling. It's not really like that at all.
Yeah, I've got two groups of friends. I mean, I'm in a lot of different groups and Telegram groups and Discords. And there's two cohorts of people that I see right now. There's some who had cash sitting on the side and were waiting at 40K to be able to try and get in and thinking, okay, it's at 40K, let's wait for the pullback, and it just never pulled back and it's just run. And then there's a whole bunch of people who are still just like unaware of what's happening here, because they just like, oh, wow, things have actually started to rocket. So you've got so many people who were watching the market but were ill-prepared for what happened.
Yeah, and the halving's now 2 weeks away. Again, typically we sort of have a bit of a pause around this time of the cycle, but maybe that's, again, just if it's just going to sort of tread water and not give much back, and then people go, well, now the halving's out of the way, and the ETF flows resume pretty positive. We had a couple of negative days, but again, nothing to really worry about. Something else that we spoke about is how Wall Street rebalances. And so this can maybe smooth out the curve. So when we have a big run, there's a little bit of selling as people have to take a little bit of profit and rebalance their portfolio on Wall Street. But again, this can all just turn into like we see in the stock markets. If you look at the 10-year charts, they basically just continue to grind higher in line with money printing and monetary policy. So now that Bitcoin's matured to well over $1 trillion and it's on Wall Street and it's considered this proper legitimate asset and collateral, again, people don't have to sell with the new Bitcoin DeFi plays to borrow against their Bitcoin to actually realize some cash. So there's all these reasons why maybe this cycle's different and it's matured, and we're only going to have, even after a huge run, sort of 30% pullbacks like the stock market does from time to time, that then get bought up and we continue higher, rather than the 2 year up, big 70 to 80% drawdown, 2 year bear market, and then up again like we have when it was growing and it was an immature asset.
That was the other group of people, sorry, that I was thinking about, is that there's been a resurgence as well of people who have now become interested in Bitcoin. I feel like in last cycle, it was very, because it was very ETH driven, there was a lot of people that were very focused that like ETH was hard money, ultrasound money, and that maybe like Bitcoin was like boomer coin, and that people that hadn't really experienced Bitcoin or didn't really, like it wasn't like as fun or as sexy maybe as like what ETH had been. And then obviously we'll talk about Solana in a minute, but I feel like now people have realized just how like incredible Bitcoin is and how it is the primo asset to have. And so I do think that it's been a resurgence in Bitcoin's popularity as well from not the Wall Street investors, but just your regular, like your libertarian types or your cypherpunks. So it's the new generation of people that are coming into blockchain.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then again, from a Wall Street point of view, they say, well, if Bitcoin's going to perform well, what are the things that are going to give me a bit of a beta and outperform? And so we saw like the Bitcoin miners have a really good run. And then we're looking at, and I'm sure Wall Street will eventually look at as well, the best projects in the Bitcoin ecosystem that are going to allow for this borrowing for your mortgage or your car or just whatever you want. And then we're going to see the excitement around, wow, there's $1 trillion of Bitcoin locked now, and there's $500 billion borrowed against that, and all those numbers are going to be in the headlines, which people, you know, it's only really scratched the surface of all that yet. So do you want to talk about any side chains or layer twos or Bitcoin projects specifically?
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be the thing that draws out the cycle a little bit, as like a lot of people are building on Bitcoin now. And so we know of several different L2s which are coming. We've spoken about them like a lot, and we've got like write-ups on everything that comes out new, we'll keep focusing on. But I think it'll draw out as Bitcoin builds out its own ecosystem. I don't think we're there just yet, because I don't think there's been a real like banger that has popped just yet. But I think that that's a good thing, because we'll see, we'll roll into the halving as we've got on the screen right now. We'll see what that does to price, effectively, as like the ETFs and Michael Saylor have been like vacuum cleaner, sucking up all the loose Bitcoin on the scene. And then we'll start to see the halving take effect, where now there's a supply shock. And then I'm hoping, and I do think, that we will see sort of a wave of like builders that are now giving Bitcoin more utility as well. So we'll focus on that over the coming months, but I do think that that will lead to another wave. I was getting a little bit worried for a while there that the cycle was just elevating so quickly that maybe this was going to be like really short-lived and we just blew off top and then that was it. But I do think that like having these different waves of different narratives will be a positive for the elongated cycle.
Yeah, and if you haven't dived in and used Stacks or Alex Labs yet, and just the main couple of blue chips, the Bitcoin DeFi plays yet, guys, do have a play around with all those.
There's heaps coming as well, so we'll talk more about that at length over the coming weeks and months.
Cool. What have you got next for us, Michael?
Yeah, so obviously people start to turn their attention to the Ethereum ETF, and like Eric Balkunas on Twitter, he's very, very active in the ETF space. He's always talking about ETFs, and he's putting it now at a 25% likelihood that this happens in May. And so we can see that Mr. Gensler is not a fan and is doing everything he can to not let this happen on his watch, perhaps. And so I've seen lots of chatter around that whatever happens in the US, there'll probably be a change of like SEC leadership, especially if the Republicans win. It'll probably happen quicker rather than with the Democrats. But at some point, they're probably going to be a change of leadership there. And so this will happen. It is inevitable. It's programmed, but it doesn't look like it's happening in May. And again, I think that that's a good thing. It elongates the cycle. It means that people have more time to digest the Bitcoin ETF. It can have more effect into the market. And then if we say maybe at the back end of this year, we get an ETH ETF, then that I think is only a positive thing for our industry. So I wouldn't be banking on it right now, but I know that it gives me way more time to stack more ETH, because we've seen what it's done to Bitcoin. We don't know if it'll have the same effect like with Ethereum, because the futures contracts that went out on the CME didn't sort of have the same effect with ETH as it did with Bitcoin. So it's a watch this space sort of play. But I think as more and more of the industry starts to gobble up the Bitcoin ETF, and then they're like, okay, here's the Ethereum one. We just need to figure out how this staking yield works and how that fits in with regulation, but not expecting it next month. Yeah.
Yeah. So if on the off chance it did get approved, we'd probably see a surprise to the upside and a pretty big spike. But if it doesn't, as they're suggesting, then it's more of a healthy, slower growth pattern, which is great. And I guess the other thing to mention, a while ago, we put together like a regulatory certainty ETF, and it's funny that a few of those, like Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, maybe even Dogecoin, and those type of things. And our reasoning was, well, these are the ones that are more decentralized proof of work coins that have been mined for years, and they've got that regulatory, I guess, clarity. So whether or not a few of those coins are the next ones, a bit of excitement comes about as well. Maybe unlikely candidates are not the coolest. Maybe coins or anything like that, but that's something else for people just to be aware of.
Well, people will know, will go to what they know, and so it could give an extra lifespan to things like Litecoin. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
I guess the thing, like on the ETH narrative, obviously the like the liquid restaking narrative is going to be the big one, and so this is the dashboard of EigenLayer. So for those that haven't looked at EigenLayer, we've got write-ups about EigenLayer. It is going to be a big, big play. And so right now, effectively, you can stake your ETH to the EigenLayer, or with all of these other protocols here, you can stake and they give you a liquid restaking token, or sorry, a liquid staking token. And the EigenLayer allows you then to go restake that token to get yield on yield, which I know sounds like an incredible Ponzi, but effectively, this is going to be able to create a more of a decentralized security layer for a whole bunch of different applications. And a majority of these protocols, like, I mean, RocketPool has a token already, but a lot of these other ones do not, like Swell specifically. So again, we've got lots of information on the platform coming out about all of these, but there's going to be a huge, huge play here for both EigenLayer when their token comes out, and then a lot of the other protocols that have a liquid staking token that will be accepted on EigenLayer. So like EigenLayer has also got a data layer where a lot of projects can post their transaction data. And so that's a different use case altogether. But EigenLayer is huge and they do cap this. So you can't just like, it's not just an infinite like buy-in at the moment because it has been so popular. But definitely pay attention to EigenLayer. Definitely pay attention to all of like the protocols that they interact with, like Swell and like your Anchors, like your Lido Finance. Because all of these that have token drops will all be massive as well.
Yeah, and we've seen the success of RocketPool and Lido tokens, which we've been covering for years. So if you miss those, maybe Swell and these others are the chance to get some exposure to that liquid restaking theme that you've just covered.
So I guess to chat a little bit about this, I'll just shift gears a little bit. So the meme coin thing has been wild, and I feel like fundamentals maybe has gone out the window a little bit, where Bitcoin has just had this incredible run. And then everyone just thought, okay, well, let's forget about fundamentals and let's just start gambling. And Solana and Base have been the two homes of where all this degeneracy has been happening. And so like, we're just seeing some of these incredible like returns on meme coins. And this like traditionally is not something I get involved in because there is no like, there's no logic here. I know there's heaps of people in the community that are making just insane amounts of money here. I'm not smart enough for that. Yeah, like it's been bonkers what has happened just like with all these different meme coins, and there's new ones popping up every single day. Some of them are pulling in 10, 20, 30, 50, $100 million in pre-sales. But I just want to stress, like these are not investments. these are like just literal gambling.
But so we did put together a meme coin portfolio on our portfolios page, and that's been doing really well. But we did highlight how risky this is, and it's probably more for the experienced crypto native rather than a beginner. There's a couple of reasons why maybe I think this is. So, I mean, Vitalik did a paper the other day, and he spoke about how can we make at least meme coins that have some public utility and some public good. So try and at least fund some things that community believes in, or something like that. But at the end of the day, humans have always wanted to belong to communities and they're fun. And if you get in early, the price has been pumping the hardest, so people hear about the people that have made the most money. But in previous cycles, there wasn't a lot of altcoins, whereas now there's thousands and thousands. In the previous cycles, there's only those handful, and they all did similar things to what these tokens do now in terms of issuing heaps of tokens, so the price is really low. 0.001 cent, and people tend to think they have their unit bias, or what if it ever gets to a dollar or whatever. So we see that very commonly now. That's one of their plays. And so with a lot of those other altcoins, like something like XRP that went gangbusters in 2017, people jumped on it when it was a few cents. Oh, what if it ever gets to a dollar? Whereas now you've got all these other options that seem even cheaper to the new retail investor. And a lot, when you go to CoinMarketCap and look down the top 10 or 100, there's not a lot of other coins. Those more traditional altcoins are sort of hovering around a dollar or 50 cents, whatever. They don't have these extremely low prices that are created for that exact reason, to get retail excited. As well as traders absolutely love these. And so when the traders that have picked the bottom in the Bitcoin and ETH and been through a few cycles, they've got profits, they've got their speculative money. So it's kind of like these different reasons, these different ingredients why I think this might be happening this cycle.
Yeah, I mean, we touch about this on like on the platform. We've got example portfolios in here. And so you can see like all of the different portfolios we have on the Nuggets News platform. We've gone through and like categorized them all and sort of figure out, like, you can decide on what your strategy is here. Like the best part about crypto is it's choose your own adventure. You can figure out what your risk appetite is and what your investment like framework is going to be. But we give some examples about what we think is going to be more sound investments, as opposed to just like maybe some of that spare money you've got and like throwing it on a few things which just could go to the moon because there is no rhyme or reason. And it's literally hot potato. It's like someone's going to be left holding the bag on these things. So keep that in mind and proceed with caution.
Yeah, absolutely. What have you got next for us, Michael?
Well, actually, just on that topic, I just wanted to show you a little bit about, like, so when constructing a portfolio, you've got to have a little bit of a thesis around what you're trying to achieve. And so this is not my real one, but I've just pulled this up this morning and as an example about what I'm trying to do and what the strategy that we take over here. So like, obviously Bitcoin and Ethereum should always be just a massive part of what you're doing. And whatever portfolio you're doing, this should be, you know, should be focused around Bitcoin and Ethereum. Then outside of that, you play around with a few other different plays. And I know that it can get very overwhelming when you're listening to all these different YouTube channels and listening to all these different podcasts and there's all these things happening, but like no one actually knows what's happening. Like you have people who spend more time doing this than others, but I think you should always be like tread with caution because no one has a crystal ball. And really you should just be trying to listen to sources that have done a lot of research and have condensed the information down so you can absorb that information, but you're never going to be able to follow every single different play. And so an example one here is like this one here, I've got Bitcoin and Ethereum at 20% each. And then I would tend to think, okay, that's about nearly half of my portfolio. Where am I going to get the biggest upside now? Because I may get a 2 or a 3X out of Bitcoin and ETH. And so in the example here, I went with Solana and Polkadot. So 15-ish% each on those two. Why? Because they're sort of like big cap projects. Solana we've seen has ripped. It's got all of the, you know, the narrative play at the moment. I went for Polkadot because I'm a bit impartial towards them because I think they've got great tech, but they still haven't ripped at all. And so there's potential upside there still. And then you think about some of these other different plays like Internet Computer, Chainlink and ThorChain were just three that I threw in here. These ones I included because I think that they've got amazing technology and still have huge communities and fan bases and investment bases, but aren't like, you know, multiple $100 billion market caps. And so you could choose your own adventure here as well. Bitcoin and Ethereum, a couple of like mid caps, whether you're an ADA person, I'm not, but like whether you're a whatever, insert your sort of mid-range token here. And then maybe a few other like ones from the top 30 or 50 or whatever it might be that you feel like have a chance of moving and sort of base your portfolio around something like that. And then put a little bit aside to speculate and gamble on altcoins. Don't go Bitcoin and altcoins. Bitcoin and meme coin. Sorry. That's not the play.
Yeah. So maybe a good sort of framework there for someone that might be just getting in and doesn't want too much risk. And a good segue before we talk about some new projects, some more speculative stuff and maybe some coming airdrops and tokens for the more advanced crypto enthusiast.
Yeah, so we try and keep everyone abreast on the platform about everything that's coming. And so there's a huge range of Solana airdrops that are still about to come. So Parcel is the one which does not have a token right now. And for most of these projects, you're going to have to interact with them. You're going to have to use the platform, transfer money over, play around with them. So Parcel, Solana project does not have a token yet. Another one here is Tensor, which is the one of the leading NFT marketplaces on Solana, also still does not have a token. And most of these projects have confirmed that there is one that's about to hit. So you're still not too late to get involved in some of these. Kamino Finance, another really big one. And this is, there's a lot of buzz around this one as well. So like this one is definitely going to go places when and if the token does come out. So I'd be paying attention here. And then even things like Drift as well. Again, another Solana perpetuals platform, but doesn't have a token. And we've seen what's happened with some of these perps platforms. Like we were talking the other day about, we've got someone in the group who made nearly half or over $500,000 on the DYDX airdrop because it was just such a monster one, because they were just leverage trading like a monkey with a shotgun, and was able to pull down like an insane amount of money. And so some of these airdrops have been massive in the past. So there's four. And that's, I guess, the beauty of what we're trying to do is we're always looking for these opportunities to make sure we can try and get people into them as early as possible.
Yeah. And Wormhole again the other day, one that we've covered and mentioned multiple times, even in our free videos, the most popular way to go between Solana and ETH, two of the biggest ecosystems. A lot of members the other day got dropped, you know, $10,000 of that. So it's worth taking the time to learn how to do these guys and have a bit of a play around.
Yeah, just again, to like proceed with caution, like a lot of all of these platforms, they don't have like the same sort of battle testing that say something like Ethereum or Bitcoin does have. And so there's going to be scams and there's going to be hacks and things like that. So just like proceed with caution. But if you've got the time and you've got a little, you know, a little bit of spare funds, like go and interact with some of these new platforms. They say in marketing that people have got to hear things like 7 or 8 times before they actually take action. And I'm guilty of this last cycle and the cycle before that, that I hear something and because I've never heard of it, I dismiss it. And so, but that's where the money is made. When you hear something, if you've never heard of it before, that's where money's made. So try and keep your ears open and not just like dismiss things that you've never heard of them before because of any sort of, you know, oh, that's not my token or it's not my thing, because yeah, that confirmation bias. Like try and be open to new things. And if you can interact with them, then who knows what happens? You might end up with a huge airdrop.
Fantastic. Anything else there, Michael, before we wrap up?
No, I think just I am excited about what's happening. I think this little cool off and pause period that we've got right now, I think is nothing but positive. And so I was saying before, I was getting a little nervous there that we were just getting too aggressive too quickly. But there's so much building happening in this space and we're seeing it all the time. We're just about to hit like events season again as we get into like the European and the American summer. So I'm off to Dubai in a couple of weeks. So we'll go and start getting amongst it and seeing what's happening on the ground. But I mean, I was at Token 2049 Singapore last year and that was still considered a bear market and it was absolutely nuts. And so I'm very interested to see what, you know, the Dubai version of it looks like now. So I'll report back from what we see in here. But yeah, heaps of things happening, heaps of cool things happening. So yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to recording an episode while you're at Dubai and getting plenty of alpha there. I guess a bit of housekeeping from our end. We've added those crypto payments and you can also sign up with your self-managed super fund as well, guys. So I think we're capping those lifetime spots at 1,000. I think we're up to 700 or so now. For those of you that want to join up for all the awesome written research that Michael and his team does, as well as trading stuff, Kyle's in there. So that's all going really well. And yeah, I'm really happy with everything. I hope you are too, Michael.
Yep, not having fun.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, mate. And everyone at home, we'll talk to you again soon. Cheers.